Jesus, who was born in a stable. He was God sent his only son to come to this earth, and he grew up as a little boy. And Jesus, that's the story obviously of Christmas that we celebrate. And then Jesus grows up, and Mary and Joseph take him to Nazareth, and that's where he spends most of his life, growing up as a little boy. And he grows up till he's about 30, and this is all written in the Bible. And he grows up till he's about 30, in Nazareth. And he sets off to Jordan. And he's like, I need to go. And he moves on, leaves Mary and Joseph, and off he trots and walks, which actually his ministry, when we talk about in the Bible, covers roughly about 90 to 125 miles. So his ministry when he was born to when he actually died was not that far that he traveled. And it's like a bit of a road that goes all the way down. If you look on a map, if you get at home and you have some time. But we end up in Jordan, where most of his ministry, he's 30, and he spends 3 years of doing miracles and preaching and telling parables and telling people about Jesus. And people around are getting to know this man, the Savior, the one who has been sent. That time years and years and years and years ago, in what we read in the Old Testament, has been prophesied. He is coming. The Messiah is coming. And here we have Jesus and the stories of Jesus and what he does and the things that he tells and the way that we should live. And he goes to Jordan and he meets this guy called John, and he gets baptized in the River Jordan, and he starts his ministry for about 3 years. And that's where we see the Ten Commandments. And he talks about the Ten Commandments and how we should live our lives to glorify him. So Luke's going to do a little game and see if we can work out some of these things in ministry that he did while he was on this earth, this perfect human being, and he showed us how to live. So Luke, are you ready with the game? We got to feel the excitement. Kids, you want you to get involved. There's always a game in the family service. So here we go, Luke.
Today we're going to be playing charades. These are charades from different moments in Jesus' life.
So, you know, like at Christmas, you might play a family game. Well, we're going to introduce family games at Easter. So the way this is going to work, we beautifully already have three teams. One team, two teams, team three. Now, to do this, we need you to send up an adult and a child to be your representatives. It might help if they know a little bit about the Bible, but we'll roll with it. Sabrina and Jem. Okay, we've got Sabrina and Jem for team one. Very quick. Team two and three, who we bring in? Be careful, because I might start nominating. Come on, team two and three. Lucas. Lucas is coming. Come on, Lucas. Bola, okay, Bola, you need to bring a representative to come and join you.
My child. Who's my child? Joanna's in the house? Oh, Joanna, are you on this team? She's over there. I haven't got no children. Is it Kaylin? Kaylin?
Well done, Kaylin. Right, team two, you can all look nervous now. Because you didn't come, I get to pick. Okay, so Charbel is going to come. Come on, Charbel. And who else? We need a kid. Come on, Mina. You can come and help Charbel. Come on, Mina. Okay. So here's how it's going to work. These are all going to be acting out moments in Jesus' life. We're going to do team one, team two, team three. We've got four rounds. Winner gets a round of applause. Okay. But also the pride of knowing their Bible better, okay? So, Izzy, do you want to show Sabrina and Jem their first one they've got to act out? So everyone pay attention. You can have a little discussion between you. You can't speak, it's charades. Okay, they're ready. Team one, are you watching? Yes, you can shout out. Jesus is baptized. Very good. Jem was playing Jesus. Okay. Okay, Charbel and Mina, let's see what we've got. Bola, not you yet. Yes, Ray, we're calling the disciple. Right, Bola and Kaylin, let's see what you guys have got. Water into wine, very good. Okay, so we're all on 1 point. Right, Sabrina and Jem, your second one. Doing very well, guys. Very well. Yes, I am, Maureen. Very easy at the moment. One all. Okay, can everyone see Sabrina and Jem? Here we go. Yes, Joe. Jesus asleep. Did you hear that? It was Jesus asleep. Sabrina was the storm. Okay, Mina and Charbel, over to you. What have we got? Raywin. Raywin is a biblical scholar down the front here. Building the house on the rock is what they were building. Very good, Charbel and Mina. Right, Bola and Caelan, what have we got? Feeding the 5,000. Very good, very good. Okay, we got another one from Sabrina and Jem. Sabrina, they're getting harder. The man who was lowered down through the roof and was healed. It was a hard one to do concisely, but very good. Okay. Do you know all the... Has everyone heard these stories before? Yeah? Okay, cool. Right, Charbel and Mina. Walking on the water. Very good. Very good. Charbel was the water... Were you... He was the water. Mina was Jesus. Okay. So at the moment, Maureen, it's three, two. Okay. Right. Go on, Bola and Caelan. I'll give you a clue. What is Caelan? What is Caelan? It was bringing the children to Jesus. Very good, Bola. Okay. So we're on three all. So you should all be very proud. This is the deciding. Sabrina, Jem. Go for it. Oh, wow. Yes. Zacchaeus in a tree. Joe is really helping your team. Zacchaeus. Jesus seeing Zacchaeus. Sabrina was kind of being a tree and Jesus at the same time, so it was confusing. But we'll give you that one. Okay. Right, Charbel, Mina. Healing the blind man. Yes, Gabby. Well done, Charbel and Mina. Okay, final one. Should we do a little drum roll for this one? Right, come on, Bola and Caelan. Palm Sunday. Jesus riding on a donkey. Very good. Well, that makes it 4-4. You're all the winners. You all know your Bible better than you think you did. Give yourself a round of applause.
Well done. Very good. Very good. That is a very short snap of some of the stories and the things that Jesus did on this earth when he was here. And his ministry was roughly around Galilee. So it was about 3 years that he did some of those things. And we can, if you want to read more of that, it's in the Gospels and we hear the stories and the things that he said. And then when Jesus at that point, he then was like, he had his final bit of the journey. And that was towards Jerusalem. Where he, during that journey, there was two ways he could have gone from Galilee to Jerusalem, and he went the long way around. And even in that time, he was ministering to people, he was loving people, he was healing the sick, and he ended up in Jerusalem knowing that his time was coming to the end, knowing that he was going to die on the cross. And that's when we hear about Palm Sunday and him coming to the cross, and it's called the triumphal entry. So Jesus comes on a donkey. We're just going to watch a bit of a video to tell and narrate this last part of Jesus' journey to the cross.
The Easter story begins on Palm Sunday. Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey. The crowds shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They waved palm branches and laid their cloaks on the ground. A few days later, Jesus and his disciples were sharing the Passover meal. Jesus predicted that one of them would betray him, and his disciples were shocked and saddened. Jesus broke the bread and said, "This is my body, broken for you." Then he took the wine and said, "This is my blood of the covenant, poured out for many." Jesus said to Peter, "Before the cockerel crows this very night, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter insisted, "I am willing to die with you, Jesus. I will never disown you." Jesus and his disciples went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus asked his disciples to keep watch while he prayed. "Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Then Judas came to betray Jesus to the Jewish leaders. Jesus was arrested and the disciples ran away. The Jewish leaders put Jesus on trial before the high priest. Even though Jesus was innocent, he didn't defend himself from the false accusations made against him. When the high priest asked Jesus, "Are you the Messiah?" Jesus answered, "I am." Then the high priest condemned Jesus to death and beat him. While Jesus was on trial, Peter was in the courtyard below. Three times people asked Peter if he knew Jesus, but three times Peter denied knowing him. Then the cockerel crowed, and Peter remembered what Jesus had said, and he wept. Jesus was then taken to Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate knew Jesus was innocent, but the crowd shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And Pilate was afraid. So Pilate let Barabbas, a murderer, go free instead of Jesus. They dressed Jesus in a purple robe and a crown of thorns. Jesus was crucified on Good Friday with a thief either side of him. At 12 o'clock, in the middle of the day, darkness came over the whole land for 3 hours. Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Then he breathed his last. When the Roman centurion saw how Jesus died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." After Jesus died, his body was placed in a tomb, and a heavy stone was rolled across the entrance.
I just want to want you to imagine in that moment when you, if you're a disciple and you're at the point where Jesus' ministry had started and you were following Jesus and you were seeing the miracles that he had been done, how he was doing, the things he was saying. And Jesus came to that point where he went to the tomb and he went to the death on the cross in that moment. And you had all this hope, this sense of thinking the Messiah has come, the real King of Kings. They were shouting, weren't they, when he entered into Jerusalem. And then there was a moment of just him on the cross and was dead. And that's what we think about with Good Friday. But imagine how you might have been feeling at that time, this person you were following, this perfect man. I'm sure you'd have felt hopelessness, defeat, thinking, what's the point? But then we have 3 days later, and what happens? He's alive. The tomb is rolled away. He is no longer there. And the journey of Jesus, it doesn't stop at death. It doesn't stop at that point. He is risen. He's alive. He comes alive again. Now imagine being a disciple at that point. What you would feel, that Jesus had come. It was true. There was a hope. The hope that was there was not defeated. There was a hope now we can have in Jesus. It's almost like, I sometimes imagine, sometimes these things that we can, I've got a balloon here, kids. And the things that when we can, ourselves, we can put our hope in things, can't we? The wrong things, things in life, even good things, right? We can put our hope in things. Give me a second. Put our hope in money, our identity and other things. But actually, eventually, it goes away. It doesn't fulfill. We can't have hope in those things anymore because actually they let us down. People let us down. But hope actually isn't a feeling. Hope we can have is in a person. And actually, We now have a hope in Jesus. We can have our hope in Jesus. He's the one we can trust and put our confidence in. He's the one that we can come to, and he never lets us down. He's the one who is victorious. He's the one who rose from the dead, and he fulfilled all his promises. He's the one that we can have freedom with. And when we put our trust in him, when we put our hope in him, and this is the day that marks it, it should fill us with joy and thankfulness because of what Jesus has done for us. He didn't just stop. Hope was not lost. Hope was restored in him. Hope comes through him, a person we believe and trust in. It says in John 10, verse 10, a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. He's the one we can find life in. Because he loves us. Because he sent Jesus, this whole narrative of Jesus that we read in the Bible and who he is and who he says to be becomes true. And do you know what the amazing thing is? That's not just a story that happened thousands and thousands of years ago. If you accept Jesus into your heart, and you trust in him, and you hope in him, he's the one who can give you life. Actually, he's alive today. He's alive today. He's the one we can don't feel disappointed in, because he never lets us down. He's the one we can come to and know that he is so faithful. And some of you may never be on a journey with Jesus before. You've maybe not got on this journey with him and got on a journey yourself. And I want to invite you, if that is you, that you want to get on the journey for the first time of following Jesus. It's the most amazing thing you can do. And maybe some of us in this room, we have been journeying with Jesus for a long time. But actually, there's a new invitation to actually hope in him. Not in other things that this world can offer, but hope in him because of the resurrection. That it didn't just stop. We don't need to feel deflated and defeated. But we know that if he's living in our hearts, we can feel alive and have the hope and the promise and trust in him with all our hearts and minds and strength that he can fulfill. And that's what we're coming today to do, is to celebrate in what he's done for us. To be thankful that we can be set free from all our sins, that there's no condemnation because he has made a way. He has made a way. He didn't just stop at death. Death has been defeated. And that's what we come and celebrate this morning. So kids, you think about Easter eggs and things, it's about new life and new hope that we can have in Jesus. Yeah, when you see the flowers and you see the seeds in the ground that are just planted, you think, is that ever going to happen? And then suddenly this beautiful flower rises. It's a picture of hope and of life that we can have in Jesus. So this is a time of celebration. Are you hoping and putting your trust in Jesus, in him? Do you believe in him? Do you have a confidence in who he is and who he says he is and what he's done for you? And this story that we hear time and time again, do you believe it? Do you believe it in your heart? Not just in your mind and your head and what you hear and what you might hear or read, but in your heart. Do you trust in him? That's what I invite you to do this morning. Amen.
Amen. Before we finish our time by having some songs of praise, I'd love it if we just maybe a few people wanted to come and pray. I know Leah's written out a prayer that she'd love to come and read. Do you want to come and read it? But if there's anyone else who would just like to come and give thanks for what God has done, I'd love it if there was maybe two or three who could just come and sit themselves next to me. Great. Don't let these kids set an amazing example to us as adults. We're done. Yeah. So let's hear these kids, and then adults, if there's a few people who want to come and pray after them, that would be lovely.
Dear Lord, thank you for the gift of today and for our family and friends. Thank you for your love and kindness. I'm grateful for the roof over our heads, for the food you provided for us. I pray you give food to the hungry, hope to those who are struggling, and please watch over those who have less than we do today. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Dear Father, we are grateful of you. Lord, I love you. And Jesus, Lord, I love you. And family, I am thankful for food and the table that is prepared for us and other people. Lord, help the homeless and please pray for my legs.
Guys, so beautiful. Does anyone else want to come and give thanks before we finish by praising?
Yeah, I'd just like to thank the fellowship that has brought us out of darkness and our lives are transformed of knowing who Jesus really is. People out there don't know, even though he exists, but he does and he cares about all of us. And every time we get sad, Jesus says, no, no more sadness, no more sickness. None of it. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Of course you can, Hunter.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this gift of the day and for our family. Thank you for our home. Thank you for our roof. Thank you for our table. Amen.
It's not really much of a prayer, but it's just something that has weighed really heavily on my heart. I was listening to a song recently, and it mentioned how... Sorry, I don't like talking in public, but how our sins are many, but his mercy is more. And that's something that's really settled on my heart. So I just thank the Lord that although our sin is so much, that he loves us so much, and that his mercy is so much more than all the things that we've done. So yeah.
And I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you today because you've made the way, Lord. You took upon our sins, Lord, and you've given us hope. You've left us with more than what we deserve. We just want to give thanks. We want to just remember you, glorify you, lift you up, Lord, and praise you. You are mighty to be praised. You are wonderful. And you are everything. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Beautiful. Thank you, kids, for sharing. So beautiful, such an encouragement. Sometimes the purest things, right? The food, the roof over our heads. But then what Naomi shared about God's mercy being so much greater than our sins. It's beautiful to remind us. Well, we're going to finish now by just celebrating. Sarah wants to come and pray. Come on. There's a queue, but if the band can come up and get ready, that'd be great. And then we can celebrate after these few more prayers.
I want to give thanks because some of you would know that the food bank, it was like on the brink of having to close. And it's just been so amazing because we've got someone who's going to donate regularly, like a big donator, and it's going to stay open. So praise God, praise God. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to give thanks because God knows that I've had some health problems lately. And every Sunday, sometimes it can be a struggle. But even though the enemy told me today, you know, Sarah, you can't really go because of this reason, that reason, I just said, God, by your grace, I want to celebrate what you've done for me. And I just thank God that I'm here today.
Wonderful. Why don't we stand? These are celebratory songs. We've got some balloons, which we're going to just keep pushing in the air. But the sense of, as Sarah was saying, that picture of the balloon, that we can put our trust in things that deflate. But if we put our trust in Jesus, he's the one who will never run out. He will never run dry. So kids, don't catch the balloons. We're just batting them up in the air as a bit of fun to celebrate. So let's all stand and let's worship together.